It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
You done get bored by baseball.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Suter comes set in the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a drive. Well hit up the alley right center field, and it is gone. A grand slam. Three for number three is Bryce Harper with his third home run of the night. 8-1 Phillies.
There you go. Home run call of the day. Scott Fransky of WIP with the call on Bryce Harper's one of his three home runs. Bryce Harper's hitting home runs. Who knew? Speaking of Bryce Harper, do you remember he was the first overall pick in 2010? Why do we mention this? Because this podcast is all about thinking about things that you don't have to think about right now, but we are allowing you to think about, we are allowing you to be educated on, and that is what it is like in these months leading up to the Major League Baseball draft for people being drafted. You would say, well, what are you talking about? You know, we're a week in the major league season. Well, start thinking about it, because all these kids, young men, whatever it is, they have to actually position themselves to be where they're going to be in the MLB draft, whether that's first overall, whether that's first round, whether that's wherever that is. You can fall, you can rise, you can do all these things, but we have 104 days until the MLB draft. So what will it look like for these guys? This isn't like you can sit out bowl games. Nope, you can't do that. Right now, our MLB College Baseball Insider, that's a weird term, but MLB College Baseball Insider, Bella Gescos, has her top picks, top two picks, being Oregon State's Travis Bezzana and Georgia's Charlie Condon. Both, coincidentally, or not coincidentally, have sat down with Bella recently for great, great interviews. Go check those out on Baseball Isn't Boring. Well, speaking of great interviews, we did three of them on players who have gone through this already and could give advice, give perspective. We are here to help the future players of MLB. So everybody, if you're going to get drafted this year, you think you get drafted, listen to this podcast. If you're not going to get drafted, listen to this podcast. Also, by the way, subscribe, rate, review, all of that. All right, the three players, Emerson Hancock, Seattle pitcher, Connor Joe, Pittsburgh Pirates, Casey Mize, Detroit Tigers. First off, Emerson Hancock, he just got his first big league win this week. He was a 6th overall pick in the 2020 draft. Outstanding to talk to. Also went to Georgia, of course, where Charlie Condon now, the aforementioned Charlie Condon. So Emerson Hancock is going to be a good pitcher in the major leagues, but it's just gotten there. And now he can look back at that 2020 draft, which was weird, right? I mean, it was a bizarre. It was the COVID draft. So, but when you're the sixth overall pick, it's, you got a good story to tell. And Emerson's story is even better because of how weird that draft was. All right. Enough me yapping. Here you go. Emerson Hancock.
So when you look back on the months leading up to the draft, like there's all these expectations and projections and everything else, but you still get to play, right? And that's, you try to get not that in your head. For you, how was that?
Yeah, for me, it was different because I was during the COVID season. So I only had, I believe, 4 starts at Georgia, and then we were shut down the rest of the year. But obviously building up to it, there's a lot of questions on what is the draft going to look like? How many rounds? You know, once we got some clarity about that, then, you know, you kind of do your meetings with the teams, kind of try to get used to the organization and stuff like that. And then kind of, you really don't know anything until you get drafted. Like, there was no deal in place. We didn't really know. And when the moment comes, it comes, and you just go with it.
So it's even more of a, I think, an interesting topic, because when everyone, I probably freaked out when the seasons get shut down. What was your take? And going back to that, where you're like, oh man, is this going to hurt me? It's just uncertainty. Like, what was your take back then about how you felt going for those heading into the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I felt we were still in a really good spot, but, you know, not being able to get into conference play, that's where I feel like, you know, you're pitching against some really, really good teams. You got a chance to, you know, show what you can do. But I feel like we had done enough, you know, the year before and then even that year, that we were in a good spot. And, you know, you try to just be yourself in those interviews, try to get to know people the best you can. And, you know, hopefully you got the right fit. And I did.
The interviews are seem like a big thing, right? I mean, this is all of a sudden, and there's Zoom, probably Zoom, right? Yeah. This is a whole nother world that when you're in Little League, you don't prepare for that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty, sometimes it can be a little intimidating. You know, some calls have 4 guys, some calls have 8 guys on there. Mm. And they're just asking you about your background, how you got to be where you are, what type of pitcher are you. And the biggest thing you can do is just be honest, be yourself. And then if it works out, it works out.
So going back to even before COVID, because people forget, like there was baseball that year before everything got shut down. Going back to that mindset you had it going into that, which is, I don't know, were you projected sort of where you were going to be? I mean, you could be honest. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think it was going to be somewhere in the top 10.
Okay.
I just think that's kind of what everybody's saying. And again, you never know how the draft will go.
So you're a projected top 10 guy. And I'm looking at the guys now. There's a lot of projected top 10 guys. There's, you know, Charlie Condon from Georgia. Well, he was projected top 10. All of a sudden, he's hitting 800 home runs.
Yeah.
So, like, who knows?
Right.
So when you go into that, how did, before, like, when you were actually going into the season, how did you feel? Were you able to sift out all the noise?
Yeah, I think I did a pretty good job of it, because for me, you know, I felt a ton of pressure just in terms of winning there. You know, growing up a kid in Georgia, you know, putting on the red and black means a lot, and it meant a lot to me. And, you know, the position that we were in with the guys that we had, we knew that we had potential to make a really good run at it. And, you know, I felt the pressure to just win. You know, everything else was just try to block it out. But I feel like we did a good job, because at the end of the day, all you can do is go out there and just pitch the best you can. Prepare the best that you can. And, you know, I put the most pressure on myself. I expect the most out of myself. And you try to just go about it like that.
The last thing is, when it comes to the draft day, I mean, it's crazy. It's 5 rounds. We don't know what's going to happen. Was that what you thought it would be in terms of anxiety? Was it fun? Like, how was that?
Yeah, that day is always crazy, you know, because, you know, you're about to go through something that you've worked a lot of time and hours with, and you don't know how it's going to go. And so you're kind of just sitting there as guys are going before you. And then everything happens quick.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Blue Jays were on the clock at 5. I got a call saying I was going to the Mariners, and just like the emotions, like that's the same thing. As soon as you get that call, it's these emotions. People around you are excited for you. And then hearing the commissioner call your name, it's just something that I'll remember forever.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you for the perspective.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Great stuff from Emerson. And speaking of not your average, not your typical path to the draft, Connor Joe of the Pirates, he's another example of not your typical path to the draft. He was a first-round pick in the 2014 draft,
37th overall, but it was a wild ride leading up to it. I'm not going to spoil it for you. Just listen to Connor Joe.
So I don't know how you viewed things heading into your last season, heading into the draft, and how that changed, how it was difficult, how you were able to put it out of your mind, because I think it's a worthwhile conversation because it's so much can happen, right, in a matter of 3, 4, 2 months. So what was that like for you?
Yeah, I was in a unique situation. Didn't get drafted out of high school. Had solid years at University of San Diego my first 2 years, but really wasn't, you know, I think the draft was a possibility my junior year, but really wasn't put on the radar until my coach asked me to change positions and try to learn catching in the Cape. So I did that, put myself on the map there, and that's really when junior year like exploded and a bunch of scouts were coming out and having a lot of meetings and stuff like that. So for me, my journey was a little different than, you know, I guess other guys probably drafted in the first round. But it was a lot, right? Like, I still had to focus on school. I still had to focus on baseball. But at the same time, I was having to schedule meetings and sit down with these scouts and talk to them. So it was a lot to take in. I think I did a pretty good job of staying level-headed and staying focused on my priorities, which were school and baseball. Had a really good coaching staff around me to help me with that. Had really good roommates. It really kept everything normal. They were going through it too, so it was kind of cool to talk to them about it. But that's kind of how my journey went. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How, as it went on, as it sort of evolved, was it? Could you feel like the steam? Like you said, it was. I've seen a lot of things change in a pretty quick amount of time. Now you're getting going. Now it's like, okay, now it's March, now it's April, now it's May. Mm-hmm. Could you sense that it was trending toward where you ended up?
For sure, yeah. I think I was a little bit naive and oblivious to the possibilities, and that was probably a good thing. I think my agent, who we have a really good relationship, you know, did a really good job of giving me the information I needed to know, but also protecting me from just noise, right? Like stuff that wasn't going to be beneficial for me or stuff that I didn't necessarily need to know. Did a really good job with that. Did a good relationship with my parents, so he was good at giving them information, but not interfering, because he knew my priorities were on that year and on baseball. Mm-hmm. And I needed to perform on the field to really make anything happen on that day, which was the draft. So I could see it happening. I didn't know how high it could go or whatnot. I was just really focused on
it. You didn't have an idea where it was going to land?
No. No one does. I mean, the draft is so crazy. It's just a day and stuff happens, and guys that are supposed to go in the first round fall, and guys that, you know, so it's a weird day. I didn't really have an idea or have any expectation. Yeah.
The last thing is just, what advice? Because, you know, I think it's a useful thing. Like, honestly, I talked to Casey Mize about it the other day, and you know, obviously the first overall pick, but it's a useful thing because we forget like how things sway one way or the other. A lot of pressure. You just talked about it.
Yeah.
So if you were going to say advice to these players, what would it be?
Yeah, I think that don't put all your stock in the draft. The draft's a day, right? Like, it's obviously a great day, and it's a day that I will never forget. For me personally, I'm grateful for it. But once you land and once you all get to the same affiliate, like, everyone's the same. And I think certain guys might get more opportunities, but once you get to your spot you're at, like, in front of the team, everyone is on the same team and trying to work for the same thing, right? So, like, the draft doesn't define you, good or bad, honestly.
That's great advice, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then you have the first overall pick in a draft. That guy representing on this podcast, Casey Mize, who's getting his first start in over a year today as we speak. So what is it like leading up to that? Well, fortunately for us all, Casey Mize can give that perspective. Once again, thank you to everybody for listening, subscribing, rating, reviewing. Big news coming up soon, soon, soon. We appreciate everything. Keep it going. Baseball isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. Here you go. Here's Casey Mize.
Casey, it's a weird time for, we have all these expectations when you head into a season in college baseball, where you're like, I'm going to end up here in the draft, I'm going to end up here in the draft, and then you actually have to play a season and the narrative can change like that. You have a great perspective of it. What would you say to these kids who maybe got off to a slow start, to a hot start, whatever it is, knowing that you still have 3 months of scouting and evaluation and everything else before the draft?
I would just say love your school and focus on your team. I think that's what I really tried to do, is don't read all the mock drafts or whatever, because it can be so fickle and so wrong. So I think it's just what you need to do is just focus on winning for your team. And if you do that at a high level, then that's going to affect your draft stock.
Is that hard though? Is that hard, especially as a young player?
It can be, but if you really actually care about your team and your school, it shouldn't be that hard.
What do you remember about heading into that year before the draft? What do you remember about did you have that mindset heading in? Did someone say something to you? What do you remember about that?
I definitely had some advice from guys I played with my freshman and sophomore year who went through the process, and the advice was just focus on this season. And our coach Butch Thompson was really candid of like, to be the best pro, and to get drafted as well, you need to have the best college season that you can, and that's certainly true. I believe that, like, results are what's going to get you drafted, and so you need to focus on winning to have those results, and it's going to get you drafted high. So for me, it was just really focusing on winning and doing my best for my team, because I love those guys, and I think that's what really helped me, is just focusing on that instead of 3 months down the road of what's going to happen in the draft. So.
As it went along, was it easier to do that? Because, again, you're playing with your guys.
Yeah.
And then you get into the season, and we're playing for something. And I don't know. Was it easier or harder?
It was easy because we were a good team. We were winning.
Yeah.
So it was like really fun, So like it was easy just to focus on winning and getting as far as we can and doing as best as we could. So for me, it felt fun and easy, So I enjoyed it. And there were times where, I felt a lot of pressure and it was tough and I was overthinking or whatever. But, you just got to, squash that and, focus on the task at hand.
I don't know if you're a social media guy, if you're an internet guy, even if you aren't either one of those, you have your buddies say, hey, do you see the latest mock drafts or whatever it is?
Yeah, in this day and age, you can't avoid it. It's just but you can't really go seek it out, because you're viewing that as a priority, right? Like, if that stuff comes to you naturally, then let it come to you, whatever. But you can't be waiting until Monday morning until the next mock draft comes out or whatever. Like, that cannot be your mindset. You have to just focus on getting your work in today, performing well, that weekend or whatever. And then, that stuff's going to fall where it may. You just have to focus on, the task at hand, which is winning for your team.
Do you remember, and again, I should know this, but the perception of you from when you started that season to where you ended it, how much it changed? Or do you remember where you were? Again, not obsessing over the mock drafts, but where you sort of were.
Certainly, I don't remember being like a top five prospect, so I definitely gained ground that season. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't like some,
Yeah, you weren't like
underground, right, what I mean? Right. Like, I was well thought of for sure, but it wasn't, I don't think it was the top half of the first round, So could be wrong, I don't know. But
that's what I'm talking about. That's, if you have the right mindset, you have the right approach, and you have the right results, these 3 months can make a big difference, right?
Certainly. I'm not saying it's not important. You should focus on your future for sure. But the best way to do that is to be present and to commit to now and commit to your team. And scouts will love that, because you're going to play well and show a lot of passion for what you love to do, and that's play for your team. And I think that's certainly translated for me and a lot of the players that I saw throughout the process.
Last thing is that when you get to the end of the year and you had this great experience with your guys, and then, okay, now I can finally sort of turn the page to my mindset. Is that how it felt?
Did
it take a while?
It was just bittersweet, because one chapter had closed and another had opened, so it was certainly exciting but bittersweet that I knew I was, coming to an end with that group of guys or whatever, but they had shared in that experience of me with getting drafted or whatever, and we had been through, so many amazing experiences together, and then, just for it all to end was pretty unfortunate, but I was able to move on, as well as a lot of my teammates, to, you know, what we really wanted to do our whole life is to be professional players. So that's, you know, certainly exciting as well. So there was a lot of emotions going on there.
Well, I just appreciate the perspective. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.